You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet. All you have to do is go to your browser on your phone or tablet or computer or whatever streaming device you have and type in WWBC, and there's a link there that says Listen Live. We have a great show planned today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. My friend Virginia is here, Virginia Hamilton. She is a retired school teacher, and she is going to be co-hosting with me in place of Ellen, who Ellen wanted a day off, which is wonderful. Allie is here, my friend Allie, who's here every Monday with us. She's also going to be part of the show. And we've got quite a treat for you. A friend of our show, Andrea Fant, is here. She ran for county court judge last year, circuit court last year. And this time around, she still has that passion burning to make a difference here in Brevard County, Florida. And she's going to be running for county court. And so we are going to speak a little bit later with her about petitions. We need a lot of petitions before March 2026. The roles of a judge, why she's running, what she can bring to Brevard. And so we'll talk to Andrea in a minute. Our second segment, believe it or not, is a friend of mine that I knew 20 years ago, her daughter, Victoria Tonkery, and her friend Mike Davis is here to speak about art and being an artist, a producer, a DJ, a singer. It's kind of a great show to have on Memorial Day, I think. It's a light show. And of course, we do respect all the people who came before us and fought for this great country. Memorial Day is not only about swimming and being in the hot sun and eating hamburgers and hot dogs. It's about showing respect for those who gave their lives, the ultimate sacrifice for us to have a country that we can live in and call home, right?
Right.
So absolutely. Without further ado, Virginia, you have a little bit to tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about our guest, mm-hmm. our attorney, a little beautiful friend, Andrea
Fant. I sure
Fant.
Do. Thank you. This is Andrea Fant. Yes. She is a Florida licensed attorney and assistant public defender in our 18th Judicial Court. In 2009, she graduated from Florida A&M University College of Law and passed the Florida Bar. And 10 years later, Andrea closed that practice, which she had, and began serving our community as an assistant public defender by representing defendants who are financially unable to hire an attorney, from misdemeanors to first-degree felonies. Her clientele are persons with mental health illnesses, autism, which is near and dear to my heart, and intellectual disabilities, as well as drug addiction. Now, outside of the courtroom, Andrea's involvement in the legal community has included member and chair of the Grievance Committee and the Vassar B. Carlton American Inn of Court. And that's just to name a few, as well as her involvement.
So, in other words, she's well qualified to be a county
court
judge.
Oh, yeah. And then she also volunteers at the Daily Bread and Children's Hunger Project. And now she's running for county court judge here in Brevard, and I'm going to vote for her again.
Dun,
thank you. You're welcome, yeah, and Andrea.
So, bring us up to speed since the last time you were here. You had quite an experience running. You met a lot of wonderful people.
I did.
You learned a lot about running for office.
Yes.
And you have experience now. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to throw your hat back in the ring? And this time, not circuit, but county court.
Yes. So we have actually
two judges who are retiring, and so their seats will be open next year. And I thought the passion is still there. I still want to improve our system in so many ways. And for county, I can start and try to help people before it reaches that circuit level. So for those who followed me last year, I ran on a platform of trying to do more in terms of drug addiction and mental illness. Too often what I see in the criminal court is that so many of our cases are driven by addiction or drugs, and it becomes this repetitive cycle that we see of people in and out of the system who have an addiction. And at county court, my hope is that I can do more to reduce the situation escalating up to circuit court. So those issues
are
still...
You want to stop them in their tracks right there.
I want to help them get it early. Yes. And also continue to help in areas of mental illness. I spearheaded an event in January, and it was a mental health forum where I brought together judges, lawyers, the CEO of Circles of Care, individuals from the mental health field, and to talk about issues that are impacting those who are in the criminal justice system who suffer from mental illness.
Yeah. And you know, we all talk about a judge being fair and balanced and independent. In your opinion, you see that a lot because you see you work in a court system. Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about why it's so important for judges to be like that.
I mean, and it's extremely important, right? Because when you become a judge, you're not advocating on behalf of a certain party, right? So as an assistant public defender, I'm representing the constitutional rights of those who are indigent. You have prosecutors who are advocating on behalf of the state of Florida. But as the judge, you're supposed to be neutral, right? It's not supposed to be that you're using the bench as an extension of what you did before. You are taking a completely different role. You have to leave the advocacy in terms of advocating for a party. You have to leave that and now be neutral and impartial. And I think that that's one of the major tenets of our judicial system is we want judges who are going to sit back, look at both sides,
and be
follow the law,
and
be impartial.
Right, right. And listen, I think one of the traits that a judge has to have too is listening. Be a good listener, right?
Yes.
And you do. You are a good listener. I know that for a fact.
Yes. So you want to listen to both sides, their arguments. You want to, you know, research the case law, listen to the case law that they're providing and their arguments regarding that case law. You want to take all of that into consideration before you make your determination.
Right. And we have a question that someone wanted us to ask you.
Andrea, what's the difference between a circuit court judge and a county judge?
So the county judge and circuit judge, basically it comes down to jurisdiction. So what type of cases, what areas can that judge preside over? So for a county judge in a criminal sector, you have misdemeanors. So circuit would preside over felony cases. And obviously, if an individual has felonies and misdemeanors, that can be in circuit court. But you can't have a county court judge presiding over felony cases. That's the jurisdiction of a circuit court in terms of criminal cases. In civil cases, county court judges preside over matters that are less than $50,000. In circuit, they're doing cases that are above that. So your circuit is dealing with, for lack of a better way, more serious in nature, more money, and those type of things. County court deals with small claims matters, small landlord-tenant matters, things like that, versus circuit or are more the monetary value of the damages are higher and the nature of the charges in a criminal sector is more severe.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good, that's a question that people ask all the time because the average person does not know the difference. They think all the judges do everything,
right? That's
right. Mm-hmm. And so in your race, your campaign is nonpartisan.
Correct. Yes.
And that's important for our listeners to know as well.
So just like last year, everyone will be able to vote for me, regardless of what your party affiliation is. At the circuit level, I was campaigning circuit-wide. So I was campaigning in Brevard and in Seminole County, because a lot of people don't know that our 18th Judicial Circuit includes Seminole County. But now for the county court judge, it's all of Brevard. I don't have to campaign in Seminole County anymore. But this is a question that came up to me recently, because an individual didn't know. She thought that because she was in PA, that she wouldn't be able to vote. And I had to explain to her that it doesn't matter what your party affiliation is, I will be on everyone's ballot. So everyone will be able to vote in the race that I'm in.
Yeah, and that's important for people to know, because I remember last time, you know, you have to go part of Orange County and all that, right? But we have a problem in Brevard with people who are registered to vote and they don't vote. How do we get citizens to understand that everything does start locally? You can care about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and, you know, elsewhere, but you affect, your candidacy affect us here in Brevard.
Right. And it is an issue that I try to address, because so many people don't know. I mean, as a judicial candidate, we're kind of separated from other candidates. We have judicial canons that governs what we can and can't do. There's so many differences between a judicial race versus other political races. And in speaking to people in our community, I think a lot of them was just uninformed, or they didn't know that the judicial races were races that they could vote on. And so what I've been trying to do is educate people that you can vote for me. You can vote in this race. It doesn't matter, because it was an August election. And typically what we think is August is the primary. And so people thought, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me.
So they're going to wait till November, right?
And then I kept trying to educate people, please don't wait till November.
Is that the same way this time too?
Yes. Oh. The judicial races are in August. So I try to educate people that if you wait until November,
you won't be in the ballot then.
Yes. The decision would have been decided by then. And so I tried to do the best I could to educate people while I was running. But it still missed a few, because even after the election, I still had people approaching me and saying, well, I didn't know.
Or some of them will say, I'm voting for you, but it's too late. So, Virginia, you could jump in here, because you and I, we've had this discussion before about people being registered to vote and not taking it seriously. I mean, and there's, you know, you could vote by mail, you could early vote, you could go in person. I personally think in this country, where we have roads and lights and a voting box and a ballot box, there should be no excuse. You have people in countries like India and Indonesia and all these places where people walk miles to vote.
And we just got paperwork this morning. Oh, we do vote June 10th. So we weren't sure about that. I was asking and found out, yes, there's another voting coming up in June.
That's an early election.
Yep. Yeah. June and then August and November. And I'm so involved with school board. That's my baby that, you know, I try to get help people with the candidates there.
Well, and you know, the thing is, if the grandparents and the parents take voting seriously, if you care about the environment, you care about childcare, you care about daycare, you care about the courts, you care about a public education for all or whatever, you will take it seriously. And people should have those conversations year round. They should not be waiting to have that conversation in August or November, correct?
And that's a good thing about social media.
Yes.
That's one positive thing about social media.
Yes. So you see that a lot.
I mean, I do think it's important to tell people, yes, I mean, it's great you want to vote for, you know, in the presidential election, that's great. But when you're talking about the local elections, those are the elections that will directly impact your community.
Right.
So when you're talking about judges, those are the judges who will be sitting on the bench in your community presiding over cases.
They're actually, if you ask me, more important than what's going on with the congressman in Washington, D.C., who you will not see.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, today we're speaking with Andrea Fant, who who is a Florida licensed attorney and an assistant public defender, and she is a candidate. She's currently running for circuit court judge in Brevard County.
County
court judge. I don't know, you know, because I know what she ran for before.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, your brains have to kind of rewind. Allie, and you do remember when Andrea was on last time and we talked about her being fair and balanced and all that?
Yes, yes. I was going to ask if there's, do you work, you wouldn't work with them, but League of Women Voters, is there, is that a place that is a good place to go and get what they can, they say is fair and balanced?
So as candidates, I play it safe and I tend to stay away from
groups.
A lot of groups.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get involved with any of that. Obviously, if members of our community want to educate themselves through different forums and different organizations, they're free to do so. But as a candidate, I tend to stay away from the groups. The judicial canons want us to always remain neutral and impartial. They're basically prepping us for what is in store for us as judges. And so a lot of those rules that are governed, that are governing our judges also govern us as judicial candidates.
Well, they want you to maintain the impartial, part of this thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, I was just wondering where one would get more information and,
sure,
you know, that you could
website,
count
right?
on.
She'll have her website.
Yes.
Up and
I will have a website
like
where
us.
I can provide information.
Yeah, sorry. So, Andrea, what do you think distinguishes you from the other candidates who are running for county court judge?
So I can tell you, for me, definitely I think what stands out is my drive and my passion to make improvements. So when people ask, you know, what inspired me to run, this wasn't as if it was just the next progression in my career, that it was something that I just wanted to do because it was on my bucket list. I'm a lawyer and now I want to be a judge. It was never like that. What inspired me to run is going into the courtroom every day, seeing what I see and wanting to make improvements, seeing where I could do things to make changes that I believe would make improvements to our overall judicial system. And so I think last year when we were campaigning, that stood out because that is something that I prioritized. And so I think that's still important for me now, is doing things that I can do to make the system better. And that's perfectly within the purview of a judge. You know, we're supposed to, as judicial candidates and our judges, we're supposed to do what we can to improve the system. And I'm just very passionate about that and driven about that. And hopefully I can do that next year.
Right.
And you know, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say, in reading your bio, you've also got a Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology, which is amazing because it ties into all the needs that these people...
The community,
the
mental
community,
health.
Yes,
right?
Yes, I think it's brilliant.
Yes, and, mm-hmm. and you know, independent judges also, when you're impartial, it strengthens the public confidence in the legal system. Because sometimes you hear people say, I'm not going to vote because I've lost confidence, right? And we want to bring that back to say, hey, if you vote and you follow my platform and you know who I am, you will know that I am running for office to help you.
Right. You want people to have confidence that the system will follow the law and be fair. And that's certainly something that I would do. You know, when you have people who want to assert their rights to trial, they want to feel like they would have a trial before a judge who is fair and impartial and not a judge who is biased towards a certain side. That doesn't give them confidence in their trial process. So it is important for us to make sure that we are advocating for that for our bench, and that's something that I would serve.
Right, and so let's talk about qualifying. You can pay to the fee and qualify in some races,
yes,
and then you could qualify by petitions.
Correct.
So talk to our listeners a little bit about the petitions, where they can get them, and there's so many rules now about petitions. You can't have more than 10, or somebody can't drop off your petition. You've got to drop off your own.
So
there's a lot of rules coming down the pipe.
And I'm still learning a lot. Our clerk of court, or I say clerk of court because that's, I'm in court all the time, but They're helping us with the petitions at the Supervisor of Elections, sorry. And so I turn in all of the petitions I gather. So I have so many people in the community, and thank you for helping me, because this is obviously not something I can do alone. The number for a county court judge is 4,433, if I'm correct with that. And it's due by March of next year. So it's a lot. So far, I have approved 500. So I'm chipping away at that number. But usually what happens is someone will gather petitions. They'll go to their communities, their family, their jobs, whatever the case may be. And then they'll meet up with me and give me the signed petitions that they've gathered. And then I turn them all in.
So you have to take it in yourself.
That's what I've been told.
It's, the rules are,
that
it's all
I
changing.
Need to turn them in. So I don't know. I don't know. That's just what I was. That was my understanding.
We'll play it safe.
Yeah.
I would play
exactly.
it safe. Really.
That was my understanding.
You give somebody your petitions and they don't take them. They throw it out or something. So you were motivated and inspired by your mom. She is your mentor.
Well, a lot. I was inspired by a lot. I mean, when you go into court every day and, you know, you're experiencing things, I reached a point where I was getting frustrated and I was complaining about a lot to everyone. I complained to my family, my friends, everyone, and then finally decided I should probably stop complaining and do something about it. And that's why I put my name in last year. And then that passion is still there. You know, I go into the court and I'm still seeing those issues. I'm still seeing the cycle. And so I just want to try within the law and within the rules to do the best that I can to improve our system in those areas and any other areas that may come up. But what I see too often is the repetition with those who suffer from addiction and then how we deal with mental illness. And I know a lot of people will say, well, it's county. It's not, you know, I'm running for county. It's not circuit. But those issues are still important at the county level. For instance, our mental health court for quite some time was only offered to those in county court. It's only recently, I believe in the last year and a half or so, that we've added low-level felonies to mental health court. So,
and
when
we
we're
know
talking
that
about
mental health funding is cut in so many states and so many counties.
Right. So when I did the forum in January, those were a lot of issues that we brought up. And my hope is that we will be able to continue the dialogue and try to come up with some solutions. But so many issues came up. You know, mental health court is underfunded. What other resources are available to people? I mean, too often what I see and what we experience is that we have parents or family members who will call law enforcement on someone who has a mental illness or an intellectual disability, and they didn't really want their loved one to be placed into the criminal justice system.
They just didn't know what else to do. Right.
And so that was an issue that was raised. What other options can we come up with to help family members so that they don't have to default to calling the cops on their loved one when it really isn't an issue of, you know, they're just a bad person or they're just breaking a law. They're just having probably a mental breakdown. So we address a lot of those issues. And my hope is that we can do more to improve on that and expound on that and come up with some ideas to help people so that we are dealing less with those issues in the criminal justice system that don't need to.
Yeah, because not everyone belongs in a jail cell or prison.
Correct.
They need assistance
another way,
right?
And that's what happens. I mean, oftentimes,
because we don't have a facility for them.
And oftentimes what happens, like for instance, when I have clients who have competency issues or mental health, you know, too often we have clients that they go into some type of facility or some that may not even be restorable, and their case is just going through the system, or if they're unrestorable, eventually their case will be dropped. So it's just trying to find a way to reroute those individuals who the community and the family members don't want to actually be in the criminal justice system, trying to find ways to address
those. And there's such a stigma attached to mental health as well as going to prison, right? There's stigmas. People, you know, we all want to stop the recidivism rates. We want people to be reformed. And I do believe in second chances. I believe that some people can be reformed. But that goes back to, like, the fundamental thing that everybody talks about all the time, that the foundation for everything starts in the home with two parents or whatever. But not everybody have two parents. Not everybody have a spouse that's willing to help, or a boyfriend or whatever. So, you know, one person ends up taking care of a child or children, and you have issues that crop up, and mental health is one of them.
Correct.
And I believe we need to address that, not just at the court level, but yeah, we need to have our counselors back in public schools who can talk to children. And you could speak to that for a second.
Yeah, we need social workers. We have counselors, but then they're tied up in, like, from my experience, the guidance counselors in the schools are not guiding kids. They're in meetings, they're doing paperwork, you know, they're not available. Like, when I needed one, I'd call and they're not available, and it's frustrating. So social workers we need in the schools.
Or even you know, in the old days, you speak with the grandparents and the aunts and uncles who were older and wiser than we were, and they gave us a lot of advice. Nowadays, a lot of people don't want to listen to their parents or elders. And so like Sheriff Ivy always says, be the top cop in your home or I'll get them. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're seeing that a lot. So, but
I can tell you, as someone who represents people who are indigent, oftentimes they don't have that.
Right.
They don't have the guidance.
Right.
They are learning from other people who are in the system. They are learning from the streets. And I'm not trying to say that that's some excuse, but they don't have the guidance. And so I think that's an issue as well, but you can only do so much what you can do with that, you know? And I try to focus on the areas where I feel like maybe I can do more for our system.
Yeah. So before we go, we have a couple of minutes left. Tell us a little bit about your community engagement, because you're involved in a lot of things here. You are a lover of humanity. You love people. You're empathetic. You have compassion.
Yes.
You care about people.
I do. I do a lot of community involvement, a lot with not only community involvement, but legal organizations. And so just to give you an example, as she mentioned, I volunteered with the Daily Bread, the Children's Hunger Project, Reese Across America, that places Reese on the graves of our fallen servicemen and women around the holidays. I've also done things like clothing drives for Operation New Hope. When I was president of our local chapter of FACTO, which is the Florida Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, the Operation New Hope suggested that there be some type of way for them to get clothing. And I said, well, why don't we do a clothing drive? Because they didn't have anything. And for those who don't know, it is an organization that helps individuals when they are being released from incarceration and being reintegrated into the community. They help them get jobs and housing and try to help them get their licenses. Well, oftentimes when individuals are being released from custody, they don't have any other clothes. They just have the clothes on their backs. And so I coordinated a clothing drive to give them professional and semi-professional clothing for individuals.
Or even a job interview.
Yeah, they work on that as well.
And, you know, I think that judges are responsible for ensuring that the law is applied consistently and justly. And I do believe you are going to be fair and balanced and independent. And I think you would give Brevard County, Florida, your very best. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends how they can contribute. Well, I don't know. Can you accept donations? I don't know. I don't know the rules for that.
But they can
sign a petition.
They can sign a petition.
Right, but
I'm here to ask those who are interested if you will sign a petition. I still have a long way to go.
And you still have to have signs and things. But so tell them, how can they get involved? Right now it's just the petitions. But later on, you're going to have a website where people can see your platform.
I will have a website. I will have, you know, I have a committee that helps me as well. So that information will be available later. But right now, what I'm asking people to do is help me with
it. Get you qualified.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And so we will spread the word as well.
I think I already signed.
Yeah. So we will be right back with our second segment with Victoria Tonkery and Mike Davis. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and sharing your passion with our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So everybody, hip, hip, hooray for Andrea Fant.
Yes.
It's an easy name to remember. Are you going to have the same color signs?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because they say branding.
Yellow.
Branding is good. So
we like that. All right, Danny, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a robust segment we had with Andrea Fant, who is running for county court judge here in Brevard. And she's focusing right now on getting her petitions in. Mm-hmm. Our second segment here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is with my friend Victoria Tonkery and Mike Davis. And we're going to talk a little bit with them in a minute. But for those who are tuning in for the first time, we are heard online at WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and AM 1510. And so we've got quite an extensive bio on these two young people who are in studio with us. Mike Davis is an artist, producer, and a few more things there. And so is Victoria. And my co-host for today is going to talk about is Virginia Hamilton.
Well, Mike Davis is a DJ, producer, and an event promoter out of Jacksonville. His artist name is Reflections because he wants to take moments of deep introspection thinking about how we see ourselves differently than how we see ourselves. I have to really think about that one. That's what inspires his music. As well as being an event promoter, he enjoys creating positive environment for people to enjoy the music in a live setting. Victoria Tonkery, I was able to research her. She's known as Vixen Stiley, and she's a DJ, vocalist, and MC right here out of Titusville. She started at age 4. Wow. Her passion has grown since she was that young in all genres of music, and she fell in love with electronic music at age 16. So back in 2004, her passion started with drum and bass music and has grown exponentially. And I had the opportunity of going to your Facebook page and watching. I was impressed with it being an all-ladies group that you're with. That's
right.
Cool.
So let's get started. Yeah. How did you get involved with the music industry?
So, like I said, my love grew for music since I was 4. I did a lot of singing in like church choir and chorus. But then, like I said, when I was 16, my sister-in-law kind of introduced me to like house music and then trance, and I kind of got involved in that, and I really liked it. And then I heard breakbeats, which I really liked as well. And then I ended up hearing about drum and bass from a girl that I was in college with, and she was like, "You got to check out Diesel Boy," and I did, and I really fell in love with his music. And then she also told me about Ultra Music Festival. And so when I was 18 in 2002, I ended up going to my first festival, and they had like 2 drum and bass stages back then. And it was like drum and bass was very prevalent back then. It's kind of more like house and like trance, and there's not a lot of breaks in drum and bass anymore there now. It's kind of more commercial, but I love drum and bass. And you're
so happy.
I love it. Yeah. It makes me so happy.
I could tell. And so, Mike Davis, how did you get involved with producing, putting on events, being part of this whole music scene with Victoria?
Yeah, I had a musical background too, and, you know, I was in the school band. I played in jazz, and that's been a big influence for me as far as making my own music. I kind of got into it, I guess, around the same time period, 2000, 2001. I had some people that took me out to events and got me exposed to it. And then from there, you know, I just continued to grow a love for it. It's like I really loved the music. And then I got interested in like, oh, I want to, you know, learn how to DJ like these other people are doing. So I started buying the records, researching all the different artists and things. And then it's just been a continual progression from DJing and then learning how to produce the music, and then from being around events and working with other people, getting into actually, you know, producing the events myself and promoting them and things like that. So it's been, yeah, it's been a long journey, but it's been a lot of fun along the way. And I've really enjoyed a lot of the connections that I've made with people, you know, in my home city, throughout Florida, and even across the country now. The way that we're all connected is really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, DJing is not just putting in a CD or picking a song, right? It's a creative thing, right?
It really is.
So talk to us a little bit about the mastery of both art and technology.
So, you know, from back when I first started, like he said, when we were getting records, I still actually buy records and still play vinyl. The Geisha sisters that I'm involved with, we promote vinyl. We love vinyl, and we do a lot of vinyl events. And my sisters, they're all over the United States, but a lot of us are here in Florida. But the artistry is just, I mean, knowing your music, practicing. Spend a lot of time in your room, just on your turntables, just practicing music, getting music and listening and really knowing your tracks is very important. Knowing when the breakdowns happen, like the intro, just how you blend it all together and how people like love and react.
Right. And the goal is to keep people engaged for that entire time. So Mike, it's like building a personal brand, right? It's essential. It is not just music. It is your brand, what you bring to this event, whatever event you have.
Yeah.
And being a DJ in today's world or an artist, it's very competitive. How do you stay competitive in this field? Because everybody and their brother and their mother think with Alexa and, you know, all these, they could go on Amazon and just buy a box and say, oh, I'm a DJ, right? But it's not, you know. So talk to us a little bit about successful DJs understands the importance of building a personal brand.
Yeah, it's challenging, and you have to wear a lot of hats to be able to do it successfully, or, you know, be able to pay other people to do some of the jobs for you, which some people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's, you know, aside from the art part of it, if you're, you know, if you're focusing on DJing, then there's, you know, first you have to, just like Victoria said, you have to practice and get in, you know, invested in the music. But then there's, you know, promoting yourself. And that's the thing that it took me a while to realize that I had to put that effort into it, too. It's, you know, putting your name out there, developing your own brand, connecting and networking with different people, whether it be other musicians, you know, producers, event promoters. It definitely takes a lot of effort, and it takes consistency, I think, is the other important thing, too, because you can kind of, you know, you can do a little bit and then think you've gotten to a point and then, you know, stop putting effort into it. And then the result of that is, you know, you're going to, you know, lose a little bit of relevancy, or, you know, people might forget about who you are. So it's the consistency of the effort that's really important now.
Yeah, and a well-crafted brand can set you apart from other people. You've got to find your brand.
It has to be genuine, too. Yeah. That's the other thing, is a lot of people will try to create a brand, but they'll, you know, find like a gimmick or some other kind of niche that isn't really a true representation of them. They're just doing what they think is going to get the likes or the clicks. So having a genuine brand is really important.
So would you say then, Victoria, that you use social media, like Instagram and TikTok and all that, to showcase some of your mixes and engage with your fans?
I don't really per se use TikTok, but I do use Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, any way I can to get my name out there and people know who I am. And I've been doing this, and Mike too. We've been in this scene for a long time, so we've had our time to get our names out there, play a lot of shows, meet and network with a lot of people. And now, I mean, it's paying off. I mean, we just like had our first track released together on our friend's record label, Rolled Up Records. And I mean, this guy, like I said, is an amazing producer. Like, I heard his track and I immediately wanted to write lyrics and vocals for it. And when I did and I sent it over, he really liked what I had, and we started working together, and we got another track that we put together too. And the second one is the lyrics I did are for my mom.
Yeah. And understanding music also, it gives you an edge. You understand the music. Now, and so you guys have to have a lot of gigs, right? And so you have to network a lot. It's a business.
It really is.
And so you get a lot of your gigs. Do you get it from word of mouth or just collaborations with other people? How do you get most of your gigs?
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, collaborations with other crews in Florida. Like, we know a lot of people in the drum and bass scene. Like, we know people in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, Gainesville. I mean, there's not per se anything really going on in Titusville, but Orlando. My friends in Orlando, they run Torque Drum and Bass. They've been running it since 1999. And I first went to their events in 2004, and I've never stopped. I've been going for 20 years now.
Right. And Mike, I would think that in order to promote events, you have to be good friends with club owners, event planners, people who own event spaces. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it can be, for sure. I've been fortunate in Jacksonville that one of the events that I do is a monthly event that I've been doing for almost 3 years now. And I got the opportunity because I know the club owner going back probably about 20 years. So, you know, that's a connection that I've had for a long time. And he actually approached me with the opportunity because he knew what I was doing. I was already doing some other things and was building a following, and he probably saw that. And so he approached me with the opportunity to come do a monthly there, which, you know, I jumped right on it. And like I said, I've been doing that for almost 3 years now. So it's definitely having those connections too is important.
Yeah. And you know, Virginia, like any other profession, for the business they are in, you know, you have to be professional, punctual. You have to show up on time and be respectful, because time is money in this business. People are coming to have a good time at a certain spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anything else. If you don't, if you're not respectful and punctual, you could lose a lot of business.
That's exactly right. And you know, you want to be called back again. I did want to ask a question. You have studios? You have your own studios? How do you create your artistic?
Yeah, I mean, I have basically a home studio, which is also kind of my work at home office. So it's a multi-purpose space. You know, it's nothing like you would imagine, like a big, you know, $1 million recording studio or anything like that. It's, you know, it's a bedroom, and a lot of people have that kind of thing too. They just have a setup in a, you know, a room or a corner of their house or whatever. But you know, it's all, for me, it's all digital based for the most part. So it's on my computer using software. You know, but I have a space set up and I've got the sound treatment and everything in there. So it's a nice, comfortable space.
Well, Billie Eilish didn't have a studio.
No.
And look at her, right?
Yeah. You can do a lot with very little these
just
days.
In
it's
her
pretty
bedroom.
Amazing. Yeah.
So Victoria, wow. Yeah, she didn't have a studio. I read that. And of course I met her and I talked to her. What is harmonic mixing? Harmonic mixes is like when you get, to get like smoother transitions. You have to know your music for that.
Yeah, you have to really know your music. You have to beat match, and our BPMs are 174 to like 177 BPMs, and so you really have to know your music. You have to know your breakdowns. Like I said, you have to know your intros. You have to know your whole song, and if you don't, then your mixes probably aren't going to be the best. They'll be okay, but they're not going to be maybe what you envisioned.
Yeah. And Ali, did you ever think that being a DJ, right? Because we see this a lot at weddings and bar mitzvahs and other events and stuff, that a part of being a DJ is managing your finances. You have to treat it as a business.
Oh, boy.
It's not what we all think. Oh, the DJ is here. These people behind the scenes have a lot of work.
Yes. This woman or this gentleman who owns a business is coming. We're going to pay them to do their job and to
dance.
Work with it.
I always think just dancing, that's what you have them there for, right?
Yeah.
But many successful DJs diversify their income streams through music production, through merchandise, and teaching. So have you guys diversified into any of those? You could take that mic.
I haven't. There are a lot of people that, their full-time job is they work in a studio recording other people's music, or they produce music for video games or things like that. My career has been project management for the past 10 years, so that's really taken up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And the music is more or less a hobby kind of a thing. But I do, you know, like it to at least pay for itself. So, you know, like you were saying before, it's like if I'm DJing or if I'm, you know, putting on an event, I treat it like it's a job. And I do it professionally, and I treat my interactions with people the same way.
Right. And you can't put a price on happiness, right? And if you find something, a passion that makes you happy, it doesn't matter how much money people give you. You're walking out of there feeling so good about yourself. And that you could bring joy and happiness to other people.
Yeah.
It's like using your passion and turn it into a profit if you can. But at the same time, you're having fun.
Yeah. And that's something that I really get from doing the events. It's, you know, all the effort that goes into it. And it's not just the day of the event. It's, you know, days or weeks of promotion and planning and organizing and everything. But when it all comes together and people are in that moment and they're having a great time, and then at the end of the night, it's a success. that's one of the best highs you can get, honestly.
Right.
Sure.
I would think DJing is very rewarding and challenging because it's dedication, right, for you, and it's skills. It's your skills. You're putting it into action. So talk to our listeners, Victoria, a little bit about, you know, your website, what people could go on there and find. Give us the website and how they can book you guys.
So I have an artist page on Facebook. It's Vixen Stiley. And I pretty much post, like, videos of events that I've done, pretty much videos of me on the mic, because I MC for a lot of my DJ friends, and a lot of the stuff I do, it all just comes from the top. Like, I don't have anything planned. It's all just right off the cuff. I just flow and vibe with the music, and what I feel just comes out. And then as far as the vocalism, I've been really focusing on writing more because I know that was something I was lacking. And so I've been doing that more, and I feel like it's paying off.
Yeah. So the goal for both of you is to do more music together.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you see in the future?
Well, we've been talking about some things, and we really our vision is we're shooting for the stars. We're shooting for the top. We talked about an EP. I know we already got one track that we made, but we got a few more to do because it's really four tracks that you put on an EP. And then our goal is to send it out to some major labels, so they can hear our sound.
On your Facebook page, you said you've written lyrics. Are they on there where I can go? No, not yet.
No, I don't put any of my lyrics or anything on there. But
people,
like,
steal
I said,
them. People can steal them.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to steal my stuff.
Well, I didn't
stuff.
Know if you were gonna you were singing.
But I sing. I do go on and I do sing. Like I said, I sing. Like, we've performed our song out, and I've sang my vocals and lyrics at events.
And I would think, Mike, that you have to protect your music through it, copyright laws and all that too.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there's different things, which one thing actually is on my to-do list is to register with a performing rights organization.
Well, Mike, don't wait. Get it done. So Victoria, so give our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, let's say somebody's having an event, how far are you booked, and what nights? I mean, is it any night or just weekends? Or you're working as a project manager, but you all have to make time for this.
Yeah, whenever a promoter reaches out to me about an event, I kind of just, like, look at what I have going on and see if it works. If it works, then I'll pretty much, like, schedule them into my.
Because I know, like, the Trinidadian singer. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Kes. He's huge in the Caribbean and the United States. His music went up to, like, the number one. And he just had something in the park in Young Circle in Hollywood, Florida. And there was nowhere for people to even park. I mean, the guy's great. So I would envision something like that for you guys one day. And there's DJs, I notice now, that they're sold out. They're not even the singer. They're just a regular DJ playing other people's tracks and songs. And it's sold out. I mean, there's a thirst out there for dance music, for togetherness, for unity, for peace. And it's music is that language.
It really is. And that's why I love electronic music, because it has brought me together with so many people. And a lot of my really good friends, two of my best friends, I made them as friends during events. Mm-hmm. I kept seeing them at events every time I would go out, and we just became best friends.
So you travel a lot then?
Travel a lot.
Around Florida.
Wow. You know, when we went to the Billie Eilish concert, we met a Halsey.
Halsey.
Halsey. And ooh, I didn't even know who these people were. Mm-hmm. You know?
She's got a good voice.
Yeah, and we were standing next to her dad, and he was trying to tell me about, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, who on earth are these people? I didn't even know who Billie Eilish was. So my granddaughter said, Nanny, she's got millions of followers. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. But Nanny, you're friends with her mom on Facebook, and can't you get us in? And I sure did. It was wonderful. But you don't know. And then I went there, and there was no room, not even for you to stand. the place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and everybody were behaving so well. You know, you have this vision sometimes that if the place is packed, people are going to misbehave. Nobody was. So tell our listeners some of your success stories about events that you've been to, because I know it helped you when your mom passed away too. Music did.
Music has really helped me with my mom's passing. I've just kind of honed in on it more and focused on it more. And it's really helped me working with Mike. He's invited me up to play on his Jacksonville DMB events. How many times have I been on there now?
Three
or four times now. And I love Jacksonville. The people there just seem to love me and I love them. And
Mike drove in from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We're so grateful to you for being part of our show.
Because
we do a lot of shows about financial literacy, people running for office. We do shows about clean water, clean air, clean sunshine, people who want to write a book. But this is a different show today, and it's such a calming show because who does not love to dance? Who doesn't love getting together with other people? We're social creatures. And I think, Harvard just did a study and they said that the happiest people are the people that actually make time to have fun, to dance, to block time into their calendar, to be social with other people, because we're tribal people. And that's what you guys are doing. You're bringing people together. And I bet that makes you feel so good.
It really does. I love it. It makes me feel good. I love seeing people smiling and dancing and vibing with the sounds that we bring.
Yeah. And what's your website, Mike? Do you both have individual websites or just a one?
Yeah. So, I have all the social stuff too, but I also have a website for the Jacksonville drum and bass community. It's jacksdnb.com. And that's a place where I list the events that we do. I've got a page that has all the different artists in Jacksonville, which there's 15 or so. And then every once in a while, I'll put a little news bit up there. So that's the home for me and pretty much anybody that's involved in the drum and bass community in Jacksonville. It's jacksdnb.com. And you can find my profile on there too.
He's so calm for being the drumming business. Because, we all think about the people drumming when we see them on TV. So what about you, your website? Give it to us.
So you can find my my page on geishas.com.
With a Z, though, right?
With a Z.
And the track you just put out, how can we listen to it?
So it's on all platforms, pretty much Apple, Spotify, Beatport. We actually, our album, we are on an album. It's called Winter Vibes Mixtape Volume 3. And our album actually hit number one on there.
Woohoo! Wow.
Back in January, we were ecstatic. I cried.
Well, you have to tell us how to promote it more. Doing shows like these. We are supposed to be our brothers and sisters keepers, right? And if you're doing well in life, I have to be happy for you. And if you're doing well, Mike, it's the same. And so just tell us how we can promote you more so that more people could listen. And if I know of somebody in the industry that you could send something to, I would gladly send you the information.
Well, it would be awesome if you could just promote our pages on social media. I feel like a lot of exposure is on social media. And that's what I think some people don't understand is it's just more prevalent now. It's not just going out and doing the events and the shows. It's being very prevalent on the social media.
You need people to be happy for you.
Yes.
You know even your high school friends and stuff, everybody should be doing it, right?
Yeah.
So for our listeners who tuned in today, what a nice calm day in our studio today. We had Ali Tambor is in, Virginia Hamilton was here co-hosting with me, we had Andrea Fand who's running for office, and now we had Victoria Tonkery and Mr. Mike Davis talking about vibing and music and creating music and drumming. And I would think that there are people out there that wants to be part of the music industry and they could contact you too and get involved.
Sure.
So thank you all for listening to Viewpoint with Seed and Friends. We'll be back next Monday, same time at 1:00.